This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out those details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on three details that are relevant for doing apologetics. The first comes from the first reading, taken from Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 20. The apologetical topic that comes to the fore there is the intercession of the saints, and particularly the objection from necromancy. The second and third details come from the gospel reading, which is taken from Mark 1, 21 through 28, and it relates to Jesus' divinity. So let's get started with the first reading. Again, it's taken from Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 20, where Moses prophesies about a coming prophet like unto himself. Here's what Moses says. A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, lest we die." And the Lord said to me, "This was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die." Now, to see how this relates to apologetical discussions, we have to back up a few verses, particularly verses 10 through 12. And here's what we read there. "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer, or an ogre, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominable practices, the Lord your God is driving them out before you." Now, some Protestants appeal to these verses when objecting to the practice of invoking the intercession of the saints, particularly the prohibition of necromancy. If the Bible prohibits communicating with the dead, so it's argued, then the practice of invoking the saints is prohibited, since such a practice involves communication with the dead. Now, one way to answer this objection is to say Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12 is not condemning communication with the dead, but the practice of conjuring the spirits of the dead with the desire to gain hidden or supernatural knowledge apart from God. And this is supported by the very definition of the word necromancy. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary Online defines necromancy as conjuration of the spirits of the dead or purposes of magically revealing the future or influencing the course of events. The term comes from two Greek words, nekros, dead person, and meteia, oracle or divination. Now, here's where our first reading comes into play. It provides further evidence why eliciting supernatural knowledge or oracles from the dead is what Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 has in mind. Moses gives instructions concerning a coming prophet as a follow-up to the prohibition of necromancy, along with divination, seeking a medium, a sorcerer, and a wizard, all of which have to do with an attempt to gain knowledge. Knowledge beyond ordinary human intelligence. Recall, in verse 15, Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed." In other words, there's no need to go to mediums and sorcerers and wizards and necromancers to gain knowledge because God will send a prophet of his own. God then speaks through Moses and says in verse 18, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. As for the prophet who presumes to speak in God's name without God's command, or the prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, God says in verse 20, that prophet will die." So, since the context is about looking to God's prophet for divine oracles and not to medium sorcerers, wizards, and necromancers, it's clear that the prohibition has to do with conjuring up the dead to seek supernatural knowledge apart from God, necromancy, not speaking or communicating with the dead. Now, the Catholic practice of invoking the saints to pray for us simply isn't necromancy. Asking saints to pray for us is an entirely different thing from necromancy. The Church doesn't teach that we should invoke the saints by conjuring up their spirits to gain secret knowledge or knowledge of the future apart from God. In fact, this is condemned in paragraph 2116 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Since the Catholic practice of petitioning the saints to pray for us is not a form of necromancy, it doesn't fall under the prohibition of Deuteronomy 18:10-12. So, that's how the detail from the first reading comes into play. We can now turn to the detail from the gospel reading, which again is taken from Mark 1:21-28. Here's the whole passage. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, there are two details here that relate to Jesus' divinity. The first is the people's astonishment of Jesus' unique teaching authority. We read, quote, "The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes," close quote. This detail comes into play when arguing that Jesus is not a lunatic within the famous trilemma argument. Recall, the trilemma argument, made famous by C.S. Lewis, considers the two alternative explanations to Jesus' claims to divinity. Either he's lying or he's a lunatic. The people's astonishment at Jesus' unique teaching authority gives us reason to think Jesus is not a lunatic. Think about it. How could someone who doesn't really know who he is, that's a lunatic, right? Someone who doesn't really know who he is, teach with certainty and authority about divine mysteries. Because if Jesus were a lunatic, well, then he wouldn't really know who he is because he goes around claiming he's God, right? So how could someone who doesn't really know who he is teach with such certainty and authority about divine mysteries? And to teach in such a way that people who are educated in their religion be so astonished. It seems that these people would have been able to sniff out Jesus' lunacy if he were a lunatic. They wouldn't have been in awe with his teaching. They wouldn't have been saying, "Oh my gosh, this dude is teaching with a unique authority, not like our scribes do. This is amazing. He's awesome," or whatever. They would have been able to sniff out his lunacy. So the audience's response, I guess you could say, just simply doesn't fit with the alternative explanation that Jesus was a lunatic. The second detail that relates to Jesus' divinity is his rebuke of the demon. Notice Jesus doesn't drive the demon out in the name of Yahweh, nor does he invoke power from God to do so. He simply gives the command, and the demons obey. Now, this reveals that Jesus views himself to have the power to drive demons out in his own person. In other words, he views himself to be the source of such power. He is the power. At least he believes it so. He is the source of such power, which can only mean he thinks he's God, since only God has the authority over the demonic in virtue of who he is. Now, that the demons obey the command reveals Jesus doesn't just think he's divine, but proves his self-understanding of being God to be true. So, you know, that the first thing we said here was Jesus at least thinks himself to have the power of himself to drive out demons. But that the demons obey the command reveals that Jesus doesn't just think it, It's actually proving that his self-understanding of being God is correct. It's true. He got it right. He's not a lunatic, right? He understands himself correctly here. And so this gives us reason to assent to the idea that Jesus not only believes himself to be God, but is God. And so here we have an ironic situation. The demons giving us reason to believe that Jesus is God, right? God utilizing demons, those who reject his sovereignty and obedience to him, to be an opportunity to give us reason to think that he is God. So God ordering evil to the good and using evil for greater purposes. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. A bit short, but hopefully sweet for you. The first reading and the gospel reading for this upcoming fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B, doesn't sell us short when it comes to apologetical details. The first reading gives us opportunity to reflect on the practice of invoking the saint's intercession in response to a certain Protestant objection from necromancy. And the gospel reading gives us opportunity to reflect on Jesus's divinity. He was driving out demons and the demons obeyed. As always, I want to thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about it. Invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers podcast network, Cy Kellett's Catholic Answers Focus, Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. And one last thing, if you're interested in getting some cool swag, right, some mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.